Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's a Tuesday morning, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's the Roundtable panel, or lack thereof, here. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. No panelist yet, but I'll tell you, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. If you'd like to comment on the non-existent panel, the post on our website is wamc.org/roundtable. And today's post is 4715 panel. That's today's panel. Oh, my gosh, the panel just walked in. Well, let's see who's here today on the checklist. Mike Spain just walked in from the Times Union. Rosemary Armeo, who is an investigative reporter who needs some sort of a clock or a watch. Alan Shartok is here today as well, and he works here. So I'm surprised he didn't get here on time. Nice to have you all here this morning.
We were all here.
Standing
you had the light on.
The thing, the light was on, and you were reading the news, and we didn't want to cramp your style.
Exactly.
What's the matter with you?
I was reading
what
the news.
What kind of a thing was that?
I was reading the news.
Or somebody else.
You that were. Was really uncalled.
Was the light on?
The light was
light
on.
Light was very on.
You know, as a prosecutor might poke some holes in that theory. So anyway, nice to have you all here today. And once again, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Now that we're all here and in our chairs. Yeah, Michael need a microphone. Sometimes when we show up ahead of time, we'll give everybody
was
a mic.
That, was that a shot when you said, you know, have you been taking shots this morning?
No. Usually I take my shots before I fill in on the roundtable panel, but I did not take my shots today.
I know a famous politician. I'm not kidding you. When I went to Hunter College?
Yeah.
I knew a famous guy who got to be quite important in state government, and we took a French class together, and he would say, stop by my locker for a minute. This is at Hunter in the Bronx, and he would take out a little pre-measured shot of scotch. He was so nervous about this class that he would drink it.
Wow. I'll have to try that.
Okay. Maybe we should have a
is that interesting?
Shelf with it scotch on it outside the doorway to
there may be some scotch in the building,
table.
Although I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, you said you take your shot. That's what led to the discussion.
I see.
I think he was joking, though.
Indeed, I was. I was talking about immunization shots.
You know what Freud said? It's no joke.
Oh, yes.
We can talk about that when we talk about Rand Paul.
Oh, that's great. That's nice. Foreshadowing. Well done, Mike Spain. All right, so any minute now, the jury will begin deliberations in Boston. Johar Tsarnaev, obviously on trial. The defense already said, look, he did it, but he was the willing, he was under the influence of his older brother. There are two phases to this deliberation. First, they decide, I guess, if he's guilty, which he already said he's guilty. And then there's another phase, same jury will decide whether or not he gets the death penalty. And that's what is at issue here today. Legal analysts on CNN and other places say they could reach that first verdict today. It seems to be a fairly cut and dried case. The death penalty, on the other hand, there are 30 charges against him. 17 charges carry a possible death penalty. Prosecutors did their best yesterday to say, look, he wanted to teach America a lesson. He followed the eye for an eye and, you know, from the Bible, and he wanted to teach America a lesson.
He's actually a Muslim, so
guilty.
That's not quite really appropriate, but okay. It's not Islam. Islam is kill the infidels. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop the conversation.
Ray and I, at least, I think could be appropriately dumbfounded.
By?
We don't know. By what you just said, we don't know. That.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your narrative flow, too.
No. What do you think? Will he get the death penalty?
Boy, I hope he doesn't. I think the sentiment against them is horrendous, and certainly they deserve it. Those two brothers did a horrible act, just a horrible, horrible act. But the death penalty is just wrong, in my view, and Massachusetts do not generally sentence people to death. They have a long history of not using the death penalty. So I would love for it to hold up. I think it's just wrong. You don't save limbs or lives or correct anything by killing this boy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be an effective deterrent. People
nope.
don't. It's partly philosophical that the death penalty is wrong, but partly practical. I mean, it just doesn't achieve any real good goal. And then there's some hardline people who think that lets him off. I mean, spending his life behind
That's
bars
punishment.
With no chance for parole may be a, more appropriate way.
Well, and worse than that, he becomes, again, using Muslim ideology, he becomes a martyr. He then is a martyr for the cause, and he ends up going to heaven where he's entitled to virgins. So, no, we're helping him to achieve a goal. I don't want us to do this. What do you think, Alan?
You know, yesterday, thanks, Rosemary. Yesterday, I talked about Netanyahu, Israel, and Iran. And I said, you know, I know how I feel about this. We should take the deal. I said, but I don't live in Israel. And right. In this case, there were victims here. There were families that are grieving their lost ones and their loved ones.
And there was
ones.
A policeman who was shot in the, between the eyes
yeah.
and killed.
Yeah.
There's also that. There was the terror attack and then the policeman who got shot.
Yeah. So I take it you sound like... You know, I know that you're a newscaster and you don't like to put your opinions out over the airwaves.
But well, I'm just saying like there was more than there were two like separate incidents here that he is on trial for.
Well, yeah. The American system does not give the victims and the survivors the right to decide what happens. They don't call the fate of the suspect. And there's a good reason for that, because, of course, these are people who would want the man hideously, not just killed, but tortured, probably. Mm-hmm. I certainly would if it were I. But that's not the way the system works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see it really be pure and above board and find him guilty, but then send him to jail.
Well, you know, inevitably, look, I happen to be opposed to the death penalty, but inevitably what happens is that they go in and they take a couple of college courses and they watch television for a while, and then somebody comes around and says they're changed people. They're not the same person that they once were. I am not a believer in that. And if we say the only thing, as Mario used to say, the only thing that he's going to hear for the rest of his life is that sound of his toilet seat going up and down that's a terrible thing. And one time, one of the prisoners wrote Mario a letter and said, "Please kill me, because it's better." And he always used that as a talking point for what he was doing. But I still think that there is a concept of justice that is in the minds of some that are far different than what would happen. As you said, Rosemary, if it were your kid, you know how you would feel. I know how I would feel. And that is what we call justice.
That's what we call revenge. Justice is what the American system sets out to do.
You know, I don't think you get to say what's the difference between revenge and what's justice.
I just said it.
Well, I mean, the definition as my
daughter used to tell me, you don't get to say Dad.
Okay, well, if you'd like to say, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. I guess it's official now. Senator Rand Paul is running. That's the latest breaking news we have, and we will take a break here now, and then we'll talk about the field for the next presidential election.
Support comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting The Man Who Came to Dinner weekends April 17th through May 3rd at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union, a local financial cooperative offering business checking, commercial loans, online banking, and more, hvfcu.org. And the Sweater Venture, East Greenbush, New York, working globally, offered locally, introducing new colors, yarns, fabrics, and jewelry for spring, including Baltic Amber from Poland. Open daily, sweaterventure.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Mike Spain from the TU is here. Rosemary Armeo and Alan Shartok. And you at home. Email address roundtable@wamc.org. Senator Rand Paul ready to test how much voters want him and his philosophy, sort of government is the problem. And we'll find out because allegedly he will announce at 11:45. But the crawl on the news station here, said he has already said, "I am running for president." He begins as the second fully declared candidate behind Ted Cruz of Texas, but he could face, according to the AP, as many as 20 rivals for the nomination before the Iowa caucuses early next year. That's a lot of nominees. That's a lot of people in the running for the nomination. And is this one of those circular firing squads, Alan?
I can only hope that the polls are nominated for the presidency. I think, and I've said so a long time now, that the best hope they have, and the polls are certainly showing that, in a Hillary run would be Bush, Jeb Bush. So if they take somebody from the extreme right or the extreme libertarian, I think they lose the middle class voter, who is where elections are won or lost in the United States.
He seems to be, or at least cultivating the image, that he is a tad more moderate than Dad. And there are a couple of articles out, I think either this morning or late yesterday, saying Ron Paul, while he'll be there today for the announcement, is expected to be fairly quiet when his son runs.
Well, he's more on the, maybe on the edge. Then I'm talking about former Congressman Ron Paul. He did pretty well in the
kids
New Hampshire primary. Well, both of them have.
No, but my kids in my classes love him.
About Ron Paul or Rand Paul?
The old man.
The old man, right. Yeah. The old man's a true libertarian. And yes. He has an institute in Washington, D.C., where some of the people on the board are 9/11 conspiracy theorists. You know, so they bring in people with maybe non-conventional, traditional, mainstream points of view. And that's why there's a lot of speculation that Ron Paul will not have a real active role in his son's campaign, but he'll be there to make sure that he is seen as supporting it. And certainly when Rand Paul ran for the Senate, he leveraged a lot of his father's supporters around the country, and it brought a lot of money into his campaign and helped him achieve his election to the Senate.
Well, you know, it's always tricky stuff between the father and the son. I'm reading Michael Schneerson's excellent book on Cuomo, The Contender. And I couldn't recommend it strongly enough. Everybody ought to read it. And it's a little scary, to be honest with you. But he concentrates in great detail about the relationship between Mario and Andrew, and when to step back and when to step forward, and the sort of rivalry between them. And, you know, we're just onlookers. We don't really know what's going on.
We have a lot of that in politics, though. The Romneys and the Rands and the Bushes and now certainly the Cuomos. There's politics has become like a family business.
True. It's funny, the New York Times piece that Ray pointed out for us to take a look at today, it says in it, Senator Paul's relationship with his father is not complicated, friends and advisors say, and is prone to overanalysis by people who do not know them.
That's what they
always
say.
Unlike, for example, the competitive and often tense bond between Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York and his father, Mario.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I like Rand Paul. I mean, I'm a Hillary woman. Everyone knows that. I've said it for years. But he's very interesting. He does not have a straight down the line, like, wacko policy, even though that's what John McCain called him. He has some really thoughtful and interesting positions. He's in favor of diplomacy, so he supported the Iran deal. He was very much against drones. He was better than the press in pointing out how we misuse that. He has called for cuts in defense budget. I think he has some interesting positions, and I love hearing him debate, as I did his father.
What I'm hearing here and what I'm apparently seeing is, again, we talk about the politicians having to win the primaries and then win the general election. Now, he has often spoken, he said, quote, I do think diplomacy is better than war. However, he was one of the 47 GOP senators who signed that letter to Iran, which he says he just wanted to make sure that Congress is part of the process.
Yeah, he's pretty principled. So you may disagree with him and think he's wrong, but he's pretty principled, which I think that's something. There's something to be said for that in politics.
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but it may be a legitimate position on the part of the Congress that they be included in on this. That was the spirit of the Constitution, which is that treaties and other things would go to the Congress for their advice and consent. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think a lot of people forget that if it's on your watch, if it's, for example, Obama, who doesn't want to do it. In the next presidency, it may well be somebody else who doesn't
flip
want
and
to
go the other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Dad, Ron Paul, did well, but never won a primary.
Right.
So we will certainly see a lot of scrutiny of him, justly or unjustly, in the media coming up when Rand Paul runs. Did he have enough influence that it makes a huge difference to Rand Paul in the primaries?
I mean, I'm sorry, Ray.
So Ron Paul,
father, son.
Ron Paul, yeah. When he ran, did well, but never won a primary as far
right.
as I know.
Right.
So is it worth it for the media to focus on Papa when Papa really didn't, he maybe had two million or so votes, but he didn't win anything.
In order to understand Andrew Cuomo, you better understand the fact that his father failed to get the presidency, and that there is a competitive instinct here that most people talk about and know about. So therefore, you know, why does Roseberry's the professor of journalism and Mike is the associate editor of the Times Union? What goes on the front page? What do we look at? We look at what people want to know about. They want to know about this, and they're going to get it.
Well, certainly Bush 41 and Bush 44 had a rivalry, and that may have played well. Some people analyze that that's the reason we went into Iraq, which is a foolish, foolish reason. But he wanted to show that he could do what his father failed to do, Bush 44 over Bush 41. And what I wonder is I wonder if there's going to be more focus on what Rand Paul is going to do to the discussion that goes on during this primary. I mean, mm-hmm. how what's he going to do for these people who are on the far right, like Mike Huckabee or Ricky Santorum, who are in the really far right? And he's not
Cruz, even,
far
for
right.
that matter. Yeah. Yeah, he's not. He has some positions that are just in line with liberal democracy. I it's really
that was
kind
the interesting thing about Ron Paul as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even just the fact that Rand Paul has gone after minority voters, something the Republican Party seems to be like deliberately trying to provoke. He has gone after Hispanic voters, yeah. for example. Yeah. That changes the
he
debate.
He fills up college campus auditorium.
That's
and he has a popular appeal. And as a libertarian, sometimes, as you were saying, Rosemary, you know, sometimes his points of view align more with liberals than
Absolutely.
Conservatives.
He wants like to pardon circle. Edward yeah. Snowden. I mean, what other Republican would even come close to saying something like that?
Yeah. You know, liberals love one side of this guy. They like the libertarian.
Yeah.
Side, but mm-hmm. they don't like the conservative stuff that comes with it quite frequently.
I do like how he is principled. I mean, you never can tell what position he'll take on something, but he'll take the position and it'll explain where he comes from.
Well,
he could do worse.
He is supposed to make his announcement in Louisville at 11:45. We'll keep you posted on that. Meantime, the Democratic side, is it a coronation? Will there be any sort of primaries at all?
Could be.
We're going to find out, and we'll take a break here, and then we'll talk Hillary. The word is starting to leak into the media. Within the next 2 weeks, she will make her announcement. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Back after a brief news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 9:34 on a Tuesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, joined today by Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, we have mail.
We do. We heard from Tom. I'm not going to read his letter
All
because
right.
I consider it a little over the top. But let me just give you the issue. He says that Mario would not be pleased with the way in which Andrew is governing. And Mark says, good morning, panel. Rosemary and Alan both make good points. Justice and revenge are not the same thing, by the way. The concept of an eye for an eye is not really from the Bible. Many people have the wrong idea about it. It's actually the code of Hammurabi. The Bible teaches forgiveness, and that's from Mark. And Bob says, Rand needs
Depends on the Bible.
What'd you say?
Depends on which Bible you're looking
Does
at.
It?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and Bob says, Rand needs a young Jewish and needs young Jewish and black votes to have a chance. Years ago, Ron signed editorials in his personal newspaper that were racist and anti-Semitic. No surprise that Ron will be low profile in Rand's run.
Say that three times.
Rand's run. Red rum.
And Saul says, Pogo Possum said that the politicians run in order to hear their heads rattle. And Peter says in New Paltz, I always thought that one gets a lighter sentence if he pleads guilty compared to pleading not guilty and then getting convicted. Is that true? If it is, why was there a trial at all?
Well, that's an interesting point, because at the outset, the defense said he did it.
Yeah.
Right. I think you just answered the question, though. They used the trial to demonstrate that he was a follower, not the leader, and that he had a lesser role than his brother.
Their strategy all along has been to get out of the death penalty. Mm.
Right. And Bonnie says, going around the table, kindly each offer your opinion of on the Boston Cardinal, who stated the church's condemnation of the death penalty just after the case was turned over to the jury in the bombing trial. Well, he has a right to say what he wants.
Justified, yeah. I mean, that is a church position.
Sure.
I prefer to hear them talk about the death penalty rather than, say, abortion.
And Glenn checks in and says, wants to refer us again to the Code of Hammurabi. Meant to mean that the punishment should fit the crime, not the literal misinterpretation that is generally used. And Ryan says, as a pacifist Christian, I have a unique perspective here. When you commit an act of vengeance, you are in fact continuing the cycle of violence. In the long term, the so-called justice system only prolongs the violence. I also hope we don't execute this man. Also, Alan, I am curious, can you explain your view in more details that criminals can't change? Does that mean they can't be saved in this life
or
next?
Did you say that?
No, of course I didn't say it, but that doesn't stop anybody from putting words in my mouth. What I do think, however, is that when somebody commits a heinous crime, and we say that the worst punishment we can give that person is to put him in a jail cell and leave him there for the rest of his life, it's almost predictable that somebody will come along and say, he killed all these people, but now we have to let him out because he's a different person. Now, you want to go back to Freud and talk about how character doesn't change after the first 4 years of life? We could do that, but I don't think that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Here. Okay. And dear Roundtable, has anybody calculated the cost of incarcerating this person with 24/7 protection for some 40 years? How about deportation instead? And that's from Paul, but he
to where?
What'd you say?
To Chechnya, where he came from, where he could then hook into another terror network and do it all over again. Not my favorite idea.
Okay,
no, not a great idea. And then from Earl, I look forward to Alan's typical maudlin, self-centered banter, where every topic ends up being about him and every commentary is cookie-cutter liberalism and all opposing views are personal insults to his ego. A day with Shartok is a day of sunshine. And that's from Earl in Chester.
Ray, have you been writing letters?
to which I...
You can call me Earl.
To which I say to Earl, keep listening, Earl. Something's making you do it.
Okay, there you go.
And then here's Ray, you don't keep any of the hooch. And then he named somebody who used to works at the Times Union.
Oh, the hooch.
Hooch from
William Dowd.
Dowd's,
yeah, who
last,
came in and we did an
appearance.
Tasting. It was delicious.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it was taped before that, though.
And then, there's a lot of them. And here's from Jim. I have two daughters, one recently out of college, the other a senior. Both are smart, liberal, and Obama supporters. I'm a little surprised, but they're not their college friends, nor their college friends. I'm a little surprised, neither they nor their college friends have much interest in Clinton. For them, she's old news. However, there doesn't seem to be anyone they do like. Okay.
That's great. Can we use that as our segue into the next segment, or do you have more?
Well, there are many more, but it's up to you. You're the moderator.
Well, we talked about the GOP and Rand Paul announcing today, this morning at 11:45, that he is running for president. Ted Cruz already in the race. According to the article I saw, I forget which, whether it was the New York Times or one of the others, that there could be up to 20 Republicans in the running. However, the Democratic side,
yeah,
we have Jim Webb, we have Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who are considering. They're going to Iowa, and they're considering. As far as I know, they have not announced. Everyone is waiting for Hillary. Now comes news. This from the AP. The exact date is not known, but it is expected Hillary Clinton will announce that she's running by mid-April. And then I find this interesting. Friends and allies say, and this is reported in multiple sources. I'm reading you from the AP.
Sure.
And I'll ask you if this is a proper strategy to announce to the world. Friends and allies say she's better in small group settings and one-on-one conversations than she is at big rallies. So according to people close to the Clinton organization, not named, of course, she'll initially focus on intimate events after she launches her presidential campaign sometime in the next 2 weeks. We saw an article also, I think it was in CNN.
The CNN report?
There's no I in Clinton. Bill, Clinton has told her advisors she intends to aggressively campaign as though she has a primary opponent by listening to concerns of voters, taking great pains to avoid the appearance of a coronation.
Well, so, she's smart to do that, I think. Nobody likes to be taken for granted.
But my question for political scientist over here
who
is...
Who has interviewed Hillary a couple of times.
Okay, but in general, is it wise to announce to the world that we are going to go with this artifice that I am not going to say my... I'm going to be with the people. If you announce it, don't you kill the strategy? Don't you just do it?
Well, you know, there are many ways of doing this. Andrew Cuomo practiced the basically Rose Garden approach to governing and to running. He didn't like to be in front of big crowds, and it worked for him. And I keep going back to the Obama-Hillary thing, in which Obama was a good stump speaker, although people didn't give him the credit for it. They would do these big events, and he'd have all the kids sitting behind him, and you'd watch it. And people were looking for an alternative. Now, I think O'Malley sounds to me like somebody who she's got to worry about, because he's bright, he's articulate, and he could give her a rough time. Look.
But will he? Once she announces, will any of these people bother?
Oh, O'Malley will. I think he will, because as I've said, how many times have I said to you that you get one chance to run for president, and this is probably his. He can be thinking, hey, who is that unknown senator from Illinois who did so well against Hillary? Are those people who had objection to Hillary then out there now?
But I think Barack Obama had more name recognition going into the 2008 election than the former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley. I mean, he's not a household name, I don't think, yet.
But you know what, Mike? It depends on what he sounds like. Hmm. If people hear him and like what he's sounding like, they may well say he's not Hillary. In the same way, and by the way, I have real doubt as to how many people knew who Barack Obama was when he started.
Well, he gave
out
the keynote in 2004, didn't he, at the Democratic convention?
Yes, big deal.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't know.
Good press.
That catapulted. That's why Mario became to national recognition.
Yep, that's true.
84.
So it is a big.
Right.
I mean, make no mistake about it. Running for president is theater, and the real problem is that Hillary is not a natural at this. She tried the whole coronation thing the last time, and that came back to bite her. And she lost to Fresh Face, On for Change. Look at all the young people in my audience who were carefully selected and put there. Barack Obama knows how to campaign. Hillary does not. She is not a natural at it. Her few good moments have come when, almost unawares, when she cried at one point or she teared up at one point, and everyone said, wow, she's like normal. She's like a real person.
Yeah.
She didn't announce that this is how she's going to do it. Reporters looking to figure out her theater this time have dug it out, and they've said, here's what we're going to get from Hillary. She needs better staff than she has. She has already had a horrible stumble with that email thing. And I'm doing that disservice. She did wrong with that. I think she's also wrong in Benghazi. And she's handling
it. Wrong in Benghazi?
Come on. It's 9/11. You've got cutbacks in your security. Where did you have forces on 9/11 other than in northern Africa where you're under attack? Why was there not more security there? I think the questions that Congress asked her are excellent. They asked them in a rude way that allowed her, with great theater, to slap them down, like you're hurting the poor, and she was sick at the time, you remember, the poor sick Secretary of State. But she didn't really answer the questions. They were good questions.
You know, Rosemary, we can argue about this all day long. But
and you will. You have a couple of years now to do that. You'll be doing that a lot.
We can argue about this all day long, but I don't agree with you. I think, in fact, anything could have happened anywhere, and then the Congress would have come in and said, why weren't they in Washington, D.C.? Why weren't they here? Why weren't they there? I think she defended herself, but she also said we should have done better. And I don't think you can expect more than that.
Well, you're picking out one thing out of a bunch of things that I said. I think Benghazi was bad. I also also think that her handling of the email, why did she wipe that server clean? That was wrong. I mean, many of us
Congress
in
was interested. She should have left it alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She did wrong. And she's just stone deaf. It just makes me crazy.
Is she vulnerable within the Democratic ranks?
I don't think
once
so.
Once she announces,
I don't think so.
If O'Malley were to announce, or the senator from Virginia, Jim Webb, were to announce they might just bring a whole bunch of people who just don't like the Clintons and like Hillary.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. I do think that there's a well of people out there who don't like Hillary who voted against her the last time.
Here's another thing she says. She's not going to emphasize the historic nature of her campaign. I think that's huge.
But that's telegraphing strategy. If you're in a football game, I'm going to run the ball three plays. I'm going to pass only when I have to. You don't telegraph.
I hope she doesn't do that. I hope it's just a bunch of reporters giving their analysis of what they think will happen.
All right, here's another question for political science puss across the desk.
Science, what did you say?
Puss. Puss. Yeah.
Long face.
Yeah. Is it
Polypus
potentially advantageous to the Democrats? Let's assume for a moment that Hillary is in fact going to be the Democratic candidate. Is it advantageous for the Democrats to put up a straw man of some kind who has no shot to allow her to run the primaries more aggressively and get her message out?
The answer is I don't know. And I'm not going to answer you until you apologize.
I apologize.
For using the word puss. The reason that I say that is that it was an old Mario technique. He didn't want to debate somebody. So what he would do is he would say, Andy O'Rourke, he would say, he came on the radio. Andy O'Rourke called him up while he was on the radio program and said to him on a voice thing, Mario, why won't you debate me? And Mario said, I'm never going to debate you until you apologize for taking the Lord's name in vain. That's how I feel about you.
All right, fair enough. Hey, let's take a break. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. We'll take a short break, and then we'll find out what's new in the TU.
Support comes from Bedard Brothers Cheshire, featuring 7 brands in 1 location, Chevrolet, Honda, Volvo, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, plus late model pre-owned cars and trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard. Online, bedardbrothers.com. Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York, offering custom framing and new exhibits every first Friday. Open 7 days a week, 518-915-1956. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger, trees, shrubs, blooming perennials, Adams-grown annuals, and bedding plants, gardening supplies and advice, adamsfarms.com. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting Derek Horton and the J Street Band, Saturday, April 11th at 8 p.m., thelinda.org.
It's the Roundtable on WAMC, coming up on 9:49. Alan Chartok is here, Mike Spain and Rosemary Armeo, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, the email address roundtable@wamc.org. Apparently there are more letters.
Well, there are. One is entitled, Rosemary's Kill the Infidels Comment. Not sure this was your intention. I'm quite sure it wasn't. That's Alan speaking. But your conversation seemed to paint all Islam with a broad extremist brush. In the context of glowing Islamophobia in the West, please be careful not to characterize extremist ideology as Muslim ideology. Most Muslims would tell you that glorifying martyrdom through the killing of so-called infidels is a heretical misinterpretation of their religion.
Good point.
Okay, and that was from Emily. And Whitney says, my uncle and I are listening, have come to the conclusion that Sinarev should get life in prison and they should amputate his legs before they throw away the key.
Oh, dear.
Ouch.
This is not nice.
I believe that would not pass constitutional muster.
No,
that's
it would. We know
and
that.
Unusual punishment.
The death penalty should not be part of any free society because it is racist, cruel, very unusual, not a deterrent, more expensive than life without parole. If the purpose of criminal justice is to protect society, then the lockup does that just fine. We should not dirty our hands with killing the killer. And that's from Stewart.
That's
And then I guess that's it for now.
Okay. Well, thank you for your email. The address, once again, is roundtable@wamc.org. Mike Spain is the associate editor of the Times Union, a fine newspaper, and there are things in it today, I hear.
Well, the story that has gotten a lot of attention already on WAMC in the last 24 hours has to do with the addition of JetBlue to the Albany International Airport, which is just outside Albany. But I think it's going to have an impact on the entire region. It's going to impact people who go to the Stewart Airport or the Hudson Valley Airport in Newburgh and, you know, even Bradley Airport outside Hartford. People from the region will go where the cheapest fares are. And Albany, 15 years ago, brought in Southwest. And
yep,
that altered things. They called it the Southwest effect. Other airlines lowered their prices to compete with Southwest. There were buses that came all the way from Syracuse's airport to Albany in order to deliver people to the cheaper airfare. So people will go out of their way to save money when they're, flying.
Mm.
And in recent years, airlines have consolidated. Some have gone out of business. They have a new strategy to keep the prices up by keeping the seats full and not having as many flights. And that's been a problem in Albany. Last summer, 90% of the seats were booked. So if you wanted to get a late flight, you really had to pay through the nose.
Mm.
When JetBlue comes to Albany in December, when they start the flights, two flights a day, round-trip flights to Florida, the question is whether or not that will stick and whether they will expand that and maybe go. Some are wondering whether they might fly to Washington, D.C., and then you could hook into the whole JetBlue network. The people at JetBlue point out that Fort Lauderdale, where they'll fly from Albany to, is the gateway to the Caribbean and South America. So there's these strategic hookups that the airlines are doing to try to make all these little regional airports like Albany very competitive. Mm. And so we'll see what it does to air prices and practices of people who live in the Hudson Valley, people who live in, west of the capital region or even in the Pioneer Valley. It might draw some people away from Hartford. And it'll be interesting. Hopefully it'll have a JetBlue effect like the Southwest effect of 15 years ago.
Rosemary, you are an international traveler of some repute. What do you think of all this? Does it make a difference to you?
I think it's good news. I did object to this big promotion about $16.86 fares. I got on immediately when I first heard about it, and there are no such fares.
Really?
Did they offer? Four?
No, I think they filled up a couple planes for their opening
day. That ain't right.
So you were too slow.
It's totally. Well, apparently. I mean, you had to be an insider. Who got it? The president's daughter or the head? I don't know.
Yeah, this kind of thing happens.
Really, those promotional fees always, or promotional fares always.
They are always. So why were they on the front page of the newspaper?
All right. Note from the legal department, there probably were actually some $16 fares.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. I just don't know how many.
All right, just
all
to be clear.
All I know is that I go to a department store every once in a while, and they always say, big suit sale, and you get there, and they say, okay, this is the suit rack.
Yeah.
As opposed to those good ones over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, I think that is very smart of them to do that, but they got help from the Times Union. It was there on the front page. And TV also was promoting it, too.
I don't know how smart it is, because in the end, people don't like that kind of thing, and then they don't go to that department store anymore.
Right. But you had a nice picture with Chuck Schumer holding a model airplane, which I thought was fantastic.
Well, Senator Schumer has lobbied for JetBlue to come to Buffalo and Rochester and Syracuse, where they've been, and even the Hudson Valley at Newburgh, and finally, he has delivered what he had been working for a long time. He's predicting it will have an effect of lowering airfares for all airlines serving Albany, which we would be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else you got?
You're right.
Well, just to note that we had a story last week from Bloomberg News that the deal was sealed and that Apple was going to have chips made for its next iPhone, the iPhone 6S. I don't know what that will do, but I can only speculate.
It'll mow your lawn.
Right, probably.
Yeah.
They were going to be manufactured in southern Saratoga County at the $10 billion Global Foundries chip fab.
That's huge news.
Yeah, and they employ 3,000 people up there. That would secure the employment and perhaps even expand the jobs that are in the region, and that's big. And those are great jobs. But now Senator Schumer Mentioned yesterday at the after the press conference on JetBlue that he had spoken with Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and he says, it's not a done deal yet. Now, these big technology companies are always tight-lipped. You know, Apple and Samsung are big competitors, and yet Samsung actually brokers and manufactures chips that they sell to Apple. So that they're all being really quiet about it. But should they sign this deal, that'll be big. It'll be big for this region.
Whole region, yeah. Alan, any more email before we leave?
No, not really, I don't think.
We're not going to talk about ending death?
Do we have time? I want
to
save this for a time.
No, how long does it take?
Well, okay, so let me set this up. Gertrude Weaver, world's oldest person for 5 days, died on Monday. She was 116. Just set that up. 116 is about as far as you're going to go. Right. However, Peter Thiel, who I believe founded PayPal, is now sinking money into this plan to have
live
eternally, or at least till 150 years old.
Yeah, it's not forever, because they think that's ridiculous.
But the kids who are being born now, Rosemary, they're saying they could live to 150, they could live to 200.
That's what they're pushing. And live well, too. That's part of it.
Sure.
And I think this is great. I liked being a baby boomer. I go, okay, by the time I'm in that old age category, the arthritis will be gone. That's just, there's a lot of pressure. We got to get rid of arthritis. And then, like, push off that death thing. I think this is great news.
I think that's a ridiculous thing to do that.
Why is that, Raymond?
Resources, population.
Will Social Security be able to take a 150-year-old?
Will there be enough water to handle all the extra people who are living?
If you live to 150, you work longer.
You'll work till you're 100, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of interesting things. If people live an extra 50 years, live well another 50 years, then will social change be as urgent, because you get more complacent and dictators can stay in office longer. So there are bad and good things.
I mean, will there be more early bird buffets? I mean, that's another question. So, Alan,
flights to Florida.
You're obviously on board with this. So why don't you talk about it in the last minute and a half
Well, I believe in it. I think Rosemary's absolutely right. I'm looking forward to living forever.
Ponce de Leon, down Florida.
Saith he.
Where you can fly now out of Albany.
No, I look at the obits these days, and people are dying regularly at younger ages than I am, and that bothers me somewhat.
Well, I guess the trick is to have a couple of billion dollars, Alan. You could fund some research on this.
But, you know, rich people die early, too.
They sure do.
They do. I mean, why are you so against this? What else should humans be looking at other than living well and longer?
That's fine. But, I mean, it has to end sometime, right, Alan?
Well, it does.
Yeah?
But it may end when you're 150. It may end when you're, you know, 72.
Yeah.
That's when it may end.
Yeah.
I mean, what's...
But you're 74, right?
I'm 74. I'm beating the odds so far.
Okay, good for you.
My father, who smoked, was 2 years younger than I was when he died.
Well, we've killed the hour, so that's good. Rosemary Armeo, thank you very much
for
being here. You going to come back?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Terrific. And remember, we start about 9:07,
9:08.
Oh, my. Mike Spain, thank you. You'll be back later in the week as well.
I'll be back Friday.
All right, sir. And Alan Shartok?
Samsung Blue.
You will be here as well. It's the Roundtable on WAMC, and you know, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back.